Today's shiur is sponsored by Jeff and Varda Gradko in memory of Varda's father, Yeshayahu ben Shlomo, Alexander Grunberger, alav shalom, on the occasion of his yahrzeit. And our series is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz in memory of Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah bas Avram. In the schus of our learning together, the neshamas should indeed have a great merit, a great aliyah. I'm sharing my screen with you. And the topic that we're talking today, although I told you, you know, what we're connecting it to, but the topic that we're talking today is about the mitzvah of Orla. The mitzvah of Orla, which is an interesting mitzvah, or I should say a somewhat lesser known mitzvah. And what I want to talk about, the mitzvah of Orla, ultimately is to get us back to the minhag of waiting for until a child is 3 years old before giving them, at least a boy, 3 years old before giving them a haircut. So let's start with just with that. There is a midrash, and the midrash is in Yalkut Shimoni. It's here on your screen, and if you'll see here, it starts with a pasuk from last week's Sedra Kedoshim, Unetatem v'araltem arlaso es pirio. So what exactly is this pasuk, and what does it have to do with a child and a haircut? So we'll scroll back up to the top over here. Here's the pasuk. When you enter the land and you plant any fruit tree, va'araltem arlaso es pirio. Now this word arla, that you have to do to the fruits of this tree, is it's one of those words that, like, if you say, well, arla tefillin is translated as phylacteries, like that doesn't really help you. So, like, what exactly does the word arla mean? Arel. So if you look at the English over here, it says, "V'araltem arla soes pirio," you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. But does anybody, can anybody think of another context in which the word arla or arel comes up?
Bris mila.
Bris mila, circumcision, right? The child has an arla, which means a foreskin, and the bris mila, the moel, the child is circumcised on day 8. So this doesn't mean that you shall circumcise the fruit, you know. but it does have the same word here. There's another context in which the word arel or arla is used. Anybody know?
Somebody who is not a Jew.
All right. So an arel is somebody who is not a Jew because they're not circumcised. But outside of that, anybody remember Moshe Rabbeinu? How Moshe Rabbeinu is described with his speech impediment?
Oh, yeah, arel
svasayim. Arel svasayim. He is arel svasayim. So the term arel or arla has to do with some type of deficiency or barrier or filter or something that keeps you away from something else, right? So in the case of a circumcised child, so there is a barrier between, you know, ultimately covering the child's male member, right? In the case of aral svatayim, it is preventing the ability of, you know, of clear speech, right? Or of communication. There are other terms, and we'll see in a few moments. But so what does it mean over here? Va'araltem arlasos piria means somehow that you shall be separated. You shall somehow keep the fruit in away from you, that you will not have access to it. So that's why the English translates it as forbidden. But the fact that the Torah uses this strange language, va'araltem arlasos piria, just say, you know, there are plenty of things that the Torah says don't do, don't eat, don't touch, don't have, don't whatever. Just say that. Right? So what exactly is this idea of using this term arel? So that's question number one. You know, if you're taking stats here, the first question is, why does it use the term arel? And I would argue that because it's teaching us something very, you know, very profound. Okay, what exactly is it? Next, shalosh shanim yelachem arelim lo yeachel. 3 years the food shall be arel to you. It shall be forbidden to you, shall be prohibited to you, shall be sealed away, shall be a barrier between you and the fruit. Don't eat it. But the fact that the Torah says araltem, arlaso, arel, it means that this is somehow helping you to define something about this mitzvah, or giving you some inkling about what this mitzvah is about. Uvashana harivis. Now, on the fourth year, yihye kol pirio. The fourth year, no worries. You take all that fruit, or you take whatever fruit you have. Kodesh hilulim lashem. In the fourth year, you'll set aside the fruit, whatever fruit is produced, and like the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. Maybe you bring it to Yerushalayim, you eat it, whatever you do with it. But the point of the matter is that this year it is used and dedicated to Hashem. The first 3 years, nothing. Can't do anything. Can't touch it. I mean, literally touch it. I mean, you can't do anything with it. The fourth year, it is dedicated to Hashem, eaten b'kedusha, uvashana hachamishis, and in the fifth year, now it's free reign. You can use it, eat it, do anything you want with it that is appropriate. So that's the mitzvah of Arla. 3 years, you don't eat the fruit. Fourth year, you eat it, dedicated to Hashem. In the fifth year, it's free reign. Do anything you want with the fruit of the tree. Okay. So that's the basic mitzvah of Arla. Now, let's go back to the Yalkut Shimoni. And the Yalkut Shimoni, this is a famous Yalkut Shimoni. And the Yalkut Shimoni says, Unitatem of Araltem Arlaso, you're going to plant a tree and then it's going to be forbidden to you for 3 years. This whole thing about the fruit of the tree, da da da, Midaber Bitinok. It's talking about, it's a metaphor for a young child, a boy. Shaloshanim Yelachem Areilim, 3 years the child shall be Arel. What does it mean? She'eno Yachol Lo Lahasiach Velo Ledaber. The first 3 years that a child is alive, you know, a child can barely communicate, can't really speak, can't really talk. You know, I mean, a child is 1, 2, you know, they can start saying some words. But, it's not really a mensch until he's 3 years old. That's what the Yalkut is saying. Ubashana harivis, and parallel, so basically the first 3 years the child is, there's a barrier, there's sort of like, you know, sealed away because it's hard to communicate. I remember when our kids were young, my wife watched a video and there was an expert, because I can't believe this is true, but there was somebody on the other side of the video selling their advice, who said that if you listen carefully, you can tell the difference between a child's cry for food, a child's cry for attention, a child's cry because they're tired, a child's cry because they're hurt. So I don't think that's true. I think that you just have an intuitive sense based on the context. But basically, for the first few years, when a child is growing, before he has ability to communicate, you really don't know what's going on. So in a certain way, they're significant. They can communicate, but it's significantly filtered. Ubashana harivis, and this is the first 3 years, the child is like separated. Ubashana harivis, and in that fourth year, yeah, kol piryo kodesh sha'aviv mikad shel Torah. In the fourth year, the child is now dedicated to a life of Torah. And this is a minhag that we have for a boy starts wearing a kippah when they're three. You give him a bear at tzitzis with Spider-Man on him. I think it says somewhere in that midrash something or about Spider-Man on the tzitzis. This is when it starts. Shemahalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ubashana HaChamishis, and then in the fifth year, Tochlu Espirio, then you can eat the fruits. Mishashu Matchil Likros Batoro Lahosif Lachem Tvuaso. At this point, the child can now really learn and study and be connected to reading the Torah and learning the Torah. Mikan Shanu Rabosenu, and from here the Medrash says, our rabbis derive Ben Chumish Shanim Lamikra. A child should start learning Chumish at age 5. Okay. So this is sort of as close as we come to a classical source for waiting until 3 years before before giving a child a haircut. A child, like any human, like human being, is compared to a fruit tree. The first 3 years, the child can't really do anything. Then in year three, you know, child becomes a little bit of a mensch, can communicate. The Torah tells us that Hashem infused the power of speech into a human being. I should say, the Torah says that God gave a soul to a human being, gave him life. And Unkelus translates that as Ruach Memalala. God gives when God created the human being, his ability of speech is what, of complex verbal communication is what gives them their unique human quality. So here, when a child now begins to be able to speak, to communicate with words and so on, now the child's like a mensch, as it were. Now is ready to engage in mitzvos and so on. And so here we have a little bit of a hint to the idea of waiting for 3 years old. You cut the hair to the idea of the fruit, which is Arel, and now it's dedicated to Hashem. And okay, it's all part of that whole metaphor. But I think there's something more profound going on. And to get to that more profound idea, I would like to investigate more deeply the mitzvah of Arla. So let's go back up here and understand what the mitzvah of Arla is all about.
Can I make a small comment?
Yes.
My grandson can be having an upshot, you know, on like Omer. But so that we're all excited. But I just want to make one comment about the age, and that's usually that, like, we don't remember much before we're three. It's very uncommon. And it might have to do with this also. If you don't remember much, then you really can't learn. Because it doesn't matter, you know, you could say to somebody, you know, whatever, but they're not going to really get it totally.
Okay.
Not really, remembering.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them into a mensch, so to speak, a little mensch.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right. So the next pasuk here in the Torah is seemingly an unrelated mitzvah. Lo sochlu al hadam. It's right here on your screen. Lo sochlu al hadam. You shall not eat anything with its blood, any meat, right? So the idea is that you're not allowed. Yeah, you have to drain the meat of its blood before you can eat it. What is the connection between Arla and the mitzvah of not eating meat, with blood? So that's question number two. All right, the connection between meat, eating meat and blood, or not eating the meat with its blood, and Arla. Three. Chazal tell us, and this is codified actually in halacha, that from this very statement, lo sochlu al adam, the rabbis derive lo sochlu ad shetispalalu al dimchem, that a person should not eat in the morning before they have prayed for their life, for their own blood. That's the halachic interpretation of this verse. Basically, you're not supposed to eat before davening in the morning. Lo sochlu, do not eat until you have encountered Hashem and pleaded for your own life, for your own blood. Right? And that sort of makes sense, that when a person gets up in the morning, the first thing shouldn't be, you know, to go on there to do other things that are about physical, physical nutrition and physical delights and physical and material. No, the first thing we should be doing is encountering Hashem, the spiritual essence, and that sets the foundation and the fabric for our consciousness and awareness of the day. But my question is, why is it that there, you know, what is the meaning of the rabbis connecting it to this pasuk? Right, so apparently, that's what this pasuk. There's a tradition that's what this pasuk is meant to teach us. You're not supposed to eat before davening. But I could see that message coming from other psukim in the Torah, maybe even to be more explicit somehow. So my third question is to understand the meaning of the halacha of not eating before davening being derived from this pasuk. Okay, so that's question number three. All right, so with those three questions in hand, and then ultimately, what does all this have to do with helping us understand about a child getting a haircut at 3 years old? I'm not going to address the Lag BaOmer issue, but what does this have to do with anything of that? And I think that that ultimately, going through this process of discovery together, we will not only offer another layer of understanding to the idea of waiting till 3 years old, but there's a universal message relevant to all of us. All right, so let's begin. The Ramban says, what's the Tam HaMitzvah? What's the idea behind this mitzvah of waiting for 3 years, then offering the fruit to Hashem, dedicating it to Hashem, and only in the fifth year being able to eat it? So, eat it freely. So says the Ramban, V'araltem arlasoes pirio, citing the pasuk, V'itamtem atimaso, yehe atum v'nistar milei hanot bo, lashon Rashi. So he cites Rashi, that the idea of of this mitzvah is that you should be separated for 3 years. Now, okay, that doesn't give us an idea. That just tells us the what. Rashi is telling us this strange language, va'araltem arlaso, is basically saying should be sealed off from you. Atum v'nistar. Sealed off, hidden away. No benefit to come from it. Why? So that Rashi doesn't explain. But Rashi does give us other case studies of the word arel meaning exactly what we just said. You know, a sealed offer and a sealed offer hidden away. And he gives us, it's in the gray over here by the pasuk. In Yechezkel, arel lev, a person whose heart is arel, means sagur lev, means that their heart is stopped up. Or, for example, arla aznam, a person's ear is an arla. And we have, and that's from the pasuk in Yirmiyah, which means you're sort of, deaf. Ein hakol nechnaspa. So a person who is arel lev, their heart is stopped up. It means, they're a little hard-hearted. Arel aznam, the person is deaf. The sound doesn't go in. Or arel svasayim, like we just said before, communication. The mouth is closed up. The lips are closed, sealed away. Upa'amim. Okay, so the opposite of, says the Ramban, the opposite of an RL is patuach, something which is open. So here we see it, I'll highlight it here. Hadibur yikra psicha. Speech is called psicha, something being open, as the word, as the Mishle, Pasuk of Mishle says, psach picha le'ilem. Okay, that the mute's mouth shall be open. That means speech. Or pasach Iov espio, Iov opened his mouth. That means speech. Or we pasach sifsei mesharim. So here are all situations where we find that the opposite of arla is being patuach, being open. Now, why does the Torah say? You're not allowed to get any benefit from this fruit. It's got to be sealed away. The lo yomar came b'shari isure hana. It doesn't say this by all other isure, hana. It doesn't refer to all these other prohibited things that you're not allowed to get benefit from. They're not all called arel. And the opposite is not all called patuach. So, what exactly is going on over here? V'lo yomar kein b'shari surah hana. All right. One second. So the Ramban says, v'tam ha-mitzvah. If that is the basis of what RL is, RL means stopped, closed up, sealed away. The opposite is patuach, means open. Okay, that's the basis, that's the foundation. What's the idea behind the mitzvah? Says the Ramban, v'tam ha-mitzvah zos, l'chabed Hashem me'reishis kol tevuasenu mi'pri ha'etz u'tevuas ha'kerem. We should be dedicating to Hashem the best of our fruits when we dedicate our first fruits, like the mitzvah of Bikurim. So how does Arel, how does the mitzvah of Arla help us with that? V'lo nochal mehem ad shenavi, whoops. V'lo nochal mehem ad shenavi kol pri shana achas hilulim l'Hashem. And we don't eat freely of the fruits until we bring these first fruits as a praise to Hashem. V'hine ein ha'pri b'soch shalosh shanim ra'yu la'akrivo lefnei Hashem ha'nichbad lefi shehu mu'at. The first fruits of the, meaning the year, the first 3 years of the produce of a fruit tree is pretty, pretty shvach. The fruit is shvach, the size is shvach, the quality is shvach. The first 3 years, I'm not a farmer, but apparently the first 3 years you get a fruit tree growing, it's pretty shvach. And only then in the fourth year do you have nice, robust fruit. The ein ha'ila nosein beferio, the tree does not produce good fruit with good taste or good scent during the first 3 years. V'ruban lo yotzio peres klal ad hashana harevias, and a lot of them don't produce any fruit at all the first 3 years. Ulkach namtin kulan v'lo nito mehen ad shenavi min aneta shenatanu kol perio harishon hatov kodesh lifnei Hashem. So we don't touch, in other words, we don't taste, we don't get any benefit from this fruit for the first years until we first give to Hashem. And we want to make sure that we're giving to Hashem is the most, the most beautiful. V'sham yachlu v'yalu et shem Hashem v'hamitzvah hazos dome l'mitzvahs bikurim. Okay, so the Ramban says it's a very practical, utilitarian reason. The reason that we wait give our fruits to Hashem, to have the first fruits, is because the first fruits that we're giving have to be given to Hashem. And we want those first fruits to be as beautiful as possible. And the produce of the first 3 years is either non-existent or very shvach. And we don't want to give that to Hashem. So we have to wait for giving to Hashem before we take for ourselves. And then, so that's why the first 3 years are off, are out of bounds. Okay. It's a very practical reason. The Ramban, however, cites another reason. And this is the idea of of the Rambam. The Rambam, in his magnum opus, philosophical magnum opus, Mora Nevuchim, writes the following. Says the Ramban. What just happened there?
If it's Maimonides, it's the Rambam with the mem, right?
Yes, that is Maimonides.
Okay.
1 second. Hold on a second.
Rabbi, I was wondering how a fruit could last for 3 years and still be good to eat.
Whatever produce you have in that year, it doesn't mean you collect them for 3 years. It means the produce of the fourth year. Okay, so here we have it. V'harav nasan bahem bazet ta'am b'mora. The Rambam Maimonides in the Guide to the Perplexed, the Mora Nevuchim, gives the following reason, k'tamo b'rova mitzvos, like he does for many of the mitzvos. And he connects it back to a previous experience of the Jewish people of being pagan idol worshippers. Ki hayu lachar tumim v'lamachashvim bizman hahu minei kishuf. At that time, the sorcerers and the astrologers and the magicians, whatever, they did whatever they did, and their rituals were Yasu Osam Be'es Netiyas Sailanos. The sorcerers would do their whatever sorcery they would do when a tree was planted, in order to call upon the spiritual blessings of whatever magic they had access to. V'yachshavu ki bahem yimaher ha'ilan, and they thought that this would help the tree to grow quickly, properly, and robustly. Lahotzi piryo kodem zmano hayadua b'minhag shel ha'olam ubebo yakrivo et ha'pri lifnei avoda. And then once the tree would produce its fruit, they would bring the fruit and they would dedicate it to their idol, she'asa b'shma kishav, which was the idol that they were channeling its powers to bring blessing to this tree to begin with. So that's what was done. That's what was done in the the pagan rituals in the ancient in ancient times. Now, Bnei Israel are now. At Har Sinai, and they're given a mitzvah, and like many of the mitzvahs, says the Rambam, these mitzvahs are meant to help wean the Jewish people off of Avodah Zarah, or prevent them from engaging in Avodah Zarah. And lest you believe that this is a some type of minor issue, Avodah Zarah, we have a tradition in days of old, was not just a choice that people made, a philosophical or intellectual choice that people made. There was a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. People had a real impulse for it. Whatever the cause was, there was an impulse for this. People needed, they just like we need food and we have all types of impulses that meet there's like a physical desire for it. This is how people experienced Avodah Zarah in days of old. So it was a big deal. Now, I once had a guest at my house, not my house, but in the shul years ago. And turns out, I didn't know it at the time, it turns out he was a recovering alcoholic. And although I'm not a drinker, and I basically didn't touch alcohol until I assumed the illustrious position of being the rabbi of Kingsway Jewish Center, in which case I have to make lots of l'chaims with people. But literally, I don't really drink outside of that, and I don't even like this stuff. Wine I drink. But you can't give an alcoholic one drink. So I offered him. I didn't know he was a recovering alcoholic. I said, would you like to make a l'chaim? And he said, no thanks. And I said, are you sure? He said, yes, no thanks. So, I bugged off. I certainly don't pressure people to drink. Anyway, subsequently, I found out he was a recovering alcoholic. And you can't give an alcoholic even one drink, because if they have one, they have 100. So, similarly, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, that kind of impulse, that kind of draw, it's powerful. And it's not something which really can be easily managed. You just have to cut it cold turkey. That's what the Rambam says over here. The Rambam says that the idea of the mitzvah of Arla was to make sure that people did not have any access to their fruits the first 3 years. So the whole idea, the whole possibility of maybe doing this ritual of praying to the to the idols to sort of bring down their blessing, and you wouldn't even get that far. Because you have no access to the fruit whatsoever. Ulekach, and therefore, tzivsa ha-Torah be'isar ha-pri ha-ba kodem shaloshanim, shelo yavo lasos ha-masim ha-roem ha-heim. And therefore, the Torah forbade access the first 3 years to these fruits, so Jews would not even come to at all, possibly, engage in idolatrous practices. Kirov ha'ilanos yaviu peros bashana harevius. Most fruit, most trees, only bring their fruits the fourth year. V'shenochlu lefnei Hashem hipech ochlam achlam oso lefnei avodah zara. And and in order to make sure that we're going to do the exact opposite of avodah zara. The Avodah Zarah practice was to pray for the fruits to be produced as quickly as possible and as robustly as possible. And the Torah is saying, you can't even have it for 3 years. The exact opposite of Avodah Zarah. Right, so the truth of the matter is, the Ramban Nachmanides and Rambam Maimonides both offer what I consider to be very practical reasons behind this mitzvah. But there is one other approach here, and this is what I think is a very profound idea. Maybe, and I'm sure that these, the idea of the Ramban and the Rambam are also profound. But the way I look at it are, you know, it's like sort of very practical reasons. So how do we understand the mitzvah of Arla? I want to share with you one really, I think, really important approach. All right. The Aruch Chaim says the following. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim writes the following. If you want to understand the idea behind Arla, we need to understand why Arla is juxtaposed in the Torah with the next mitzvah of, of Lo Sochlu Al Adam, not eating the meat with the blood. If we get the connection between those two, we will, in fact, understand a very profound message of Arla. Says the Aruch Chaim, Lo Sochlu Al Adam, Samach HaKosuv, Mitzvah Zo, LeMitzvas Arla. The Torah juxtaposed the mitzvah of Lo Sochlu Al Adam and the mitzvah of Arla, not eating the meat with the blood and not eating the fruits for the first 3 years. Lirmoz, in order to project the following idea. And that is something that comes from another medrash, something that the rabbis teach about Adam HaRishon. Ki Adam HaRishon chata ba'achilas eitz hadas, kodem zman hetero shehu b'chinas arla. Adam HaRishon sinned. What was Adam HaRishon's sin? He ate from?
Fruit tree.
He ate from the fruit tree. Now, what was the only tree that Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat from? The Eitz Ha? Eitz Hadas. So the fact that God prohibited him from eating from this fruit tree is the equivalent of the mitzvah of Arla. Don't eat from the fruit trees of the field. Adam HaRishon was told not to eat from the fruits of Gan Eden. From the fruit tree of Gan Eden of the Eitz Hadas. So it's similar to Arla. Okay, but is it really similar to Arla? Arla is you can't eat any fruit, of the trees in their first 3 years. This is one tree. So if it's similar to Arla, it's a very limited connection, at least apparently. But that was his sin. He violated the equivalent of Arla. Indeed, the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin says the following. Rabbi Yochanan says, that first day, when Adam HaRishon was created, this was the schedule on God's calendar that day. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei Mesrei Shos Havei Hayom, every Jewish day has 12 hours, and every Jewish night has 12 hours. In other words, there's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. Those aren't 60-minute hours because only a couple of days a year are there 12 60-minute units of light and 12 60-minute units of darkness. But every Jewish day is split up into 12 60-minute units. And it doesn't make a difference whether the sun rises at 7 and sets at 5, or the sun rises at 5 and sets at 9 p.m. However much light or however much darkness there is, we take that amount and we split it up into 12 equal units. So on that first day, there were 12 hours of that day. And this was on Hashem's to-do list, or at least on his agenda. Shah Rishona Hutzbar Afro. Hour one, God collected the earth in order to form man. Shnia Naase Golam. In the second hour, God formed man into this shape of a human being, but was a soulless clump of clay. Shlishis, in the third hour, Nimtachu Evarav, God formed the organs and the and the you know, the skin and the bones, and right, you know, in other words, be a human being. Rivius, in the fourth hour, Nizraka bo neshama, God infused the this being with a soul, and now he becomes a human being. Chamishis, in the fifth hour, Omar al Raglav, the human stood on his feet. Shishis, in the sixth hour, Kara Shemos, he displayed intellectual cognition and called the various creations by their names. Shvius, in the seventh hour, Nizdavgalo Chava, Chava was paired with him. Shminis, Alulamita Shnayim Yardu Arba, in the eighth hour, right? So she was created in the seventh hour, and in the eighth hour, they immediately engaged in intimate relations. Two went into the bed, and four came out. In other words, you know, they had children. Chias, in the ninth hour, Nitztava Shelo Lechol Mina Ilan. God gave Adam and Chava the prohibition, you know, the restriction of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Asiris, in the 10th hour, Sarach, he sinned, and he ate. Achadisre, in the 11th hour, Nidon, God put him on trial and judged him. Shtemisre, the 12th hour, Nitrad v'halachlo, he was chased out of Gan Eden. He was exiled from Gan Eden. He was expelled. So this is what happened on day one of creation. Now, just as an aside here, in the second hour, God made a golem, right? What's a golem? A golem is, this form, but with... What?
Lump of clay.
Lump of clay, but no soul. So everybody's familiar with the famous story of the golem of Prague, the legend that he somehow, you know, made a Frankenstein. So I heard that apparently Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was one of the greatest rabbis of the 20th century, he trained thousands of rabbanim, gave them smicha, and apparently he once was commenting on the legend of the Golem Prang, and he said about himself, he said, "I don't understand what the big deal is about the Maharal. The Maharal made one golem. I made thousands."
That's
so, okay, that's just as an aside. But
I went to the Maharal's kever when I was in Prague.
Ah, okay. And I'm sure as an elementary school teacher, you only made Talmidei Chachamim and not golems. Right.
Of course.
Right. Okay. So what we have here on the first day is that he sinned. The sin of Adam HaRishon is that he violated the quote-unquote Arla. That's what he did. He violated the quote-unquote Arla. Now, I think it's interesting that we are told that he sinned in the 12th hour, and he was given the prohibition of eating from the tree after he was intimate with his wife. In other words, why wasn't it that he was created, and then Chava was created, and then they were given this prohibition, and then they went ahead and they had children and blah, 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 blah. But I think it's interesting here. I mean, I think that would be more the natural order. First you're created, I tell you the rules, and then you go off and live your life. But apparently, Hashem waited until after they started, you know, living as husband and wife, and only then did he tell them about the mitzvah of Arla. And I think that order is not by chance.
Because
he was supposed to wait until Shabbat to have relations.
So let's see. Let's go further. The Medrash says also further. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Amar Rav, Adam HaRishon min haya. Adam HaRishon was a heretic. Shneemar, how do we know that he was a heretic? As the Pasuk says, Vayikra Hashem Elokim el ha'adam, God called out to man, to Adam, Vayomer lo ayaka, and he said, "Where are you?" right? So what's that question of Ayeka? Where are you? Hashem certainly had a functional GPS. He knew exactly where Adam was. So when the Torah says Ayeka, the Talmud and the Chazal were bothered by that on a simple pshat level. So therefore, they interpreted it as follows. Vayomer lo Ayeka, in nata libcha. Where is your heart gone? Where is your soul gone? In other words, you have departed. You have, you know, you've gone off the derech. Where have you gone? So Rav Yehuda is in. So what was his sin? His sin was that he ate from the Eitz Hadas. And that's what God, after he sins from the Eitz Hadas, that God says, Ayeka, where are you? Right? And Adam was, you know, hiding in Gan Eden. So this sin of eating from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas is described by Rav Yehuda as min, as heresy, lack of faith in Hashem. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Moshech be'arloso haya. What was Adam doing? He was Moshech be'arloso, which literally means he was pulling on his foreskin. I think the way to explain that, actually, let's take a look at this English translation. So as to remove any indication that he was circumcised. In other words, he was trying to hide the fact of his, his spiritual essence. You can't call him Jewish at this point because he wasn't Jewish. But he was sort of, whether to take this literally or at least figuratively, Adam HaRishon was in essence hiding his identity as a spiritual being of God. Now that's all encapsulated here in his eating from the Eitz Hadas. Eating from the Eitz Hadas is somehow heresy. I mean, people sin. Not every sin is heresy, or is it? Maybe every sin is heresy. On some level, if I really believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing in front of me, I wouldn't be able to sin. So maybe on some level, every sin is heresy. But I think it's more to it. When he says, Adam HaRishon Min Haya, he's saying this act of eating from the Eitz Hadas goes against everything that it means to be an Eved Hashem. And the fact that Rabbi Yitzchak says that this sin was Moshech Ba'arlaso, he was covering up his Mila, whatever that means. It means that he was sort of hiding his identity. So what's going on over here? In his eating of the Eitz Hadas, the Chazal are basically telling us that Adam HaRishon is somehow uprooting the very core of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And I want to understand that a little bit better. Okay. But before we go on, I think, Barbara, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah. Think about it. Sin wasn't created before that. So he didn't even have a concept of what a sin was. So that's it. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Take a look at this Midrash Rabbah. So the Midrash Rabbah now connects a couple of things here. The Midrash Rabbah says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Mi gale afar me'enecha Adam HaRishon, shelo yacholta lamod al tzivuyecha sha'a echas. He says, what is it about you, Adam HaRishon? What blinded you? Like, what is this? Mi gale afar me'enecha Adam HaRishon, shelo yacholta lamod al tzivuyecha sha'a echas? You couldn't wait? What do you mean you couldn't wait? What do you mean you couldn't wait? So here's the kicker. There is a midrash which I don't think maybe it's even part of. No. There's a midrash that I think says more explicitly that Adam HaRishon, all he had to do was wait.
Wait for what?
Wait for Shabbos. And once Shabbos would have arrived, he would not have been prohibited in the Eitz Hada'as.
Oh, really?
He needed to wait 3 hours. Just 3 hours. That's all he needed to do. This is in the, I'll show you the Aruch Chaim in a minute. It's based on this Medrash. Shelo yacholta la'amod al tzivuchei ha'shachas. You couldn't even wait just a few hours. You didn't even wait 1 hour. But you needed to wait three. By the way, this is where the minhag of waiting 3 hours between milk and meat comes from. I'm just kidding. It doesn't come from me. All right. So, v'harei banecha mamtinin la'arla shaloshanim. You couldn't wait 3 hours on that Friday, the day that you were created. Just wait till Shabbos. And as a consequence, banecha mamtinin la'arla shaloshanim. Your children now have to wait 3 years. Meaning, it seems that what the Medrash is saying here is that the mitzvah of Arla, of having to wait 3 years before we eat the fruit, is connected to the sin of Adam Arishon of failing to be able to wait 3 hours to eat the fruit from the Eitz Hadas. Amar Rav Huna kad shama bar kapara kach amar yafed darsha b'yuda ben achos yadav dichsiv v'chisavo al haaretz unetatem kol eitz ma'achal. That's our mitzvah here. You will go into the land of Israel, you will plant the fruit, you will plant the fruit trees, and then you have to wait 3 years. Says the Medrash, those 3 years of waiting is sort of like a tikkun, a takana, if you will, a fixing, or a consequence, maybe a punishment. For the 3 hours that Adam Arishon couldn't wait. Okay. So what is the essence of the mitzvah of Arla? What is the essence of the mitzvah of Arla? Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you one sentence. Go ahead.
I think it's
Tikkun. Is
what?
Tikkun. Tikkun, good.
Went on before.
Good. So, and what?
And to show restraint.
Restraint, patience, delayed gratification. That is the tikkun that we're doing. Says the Aruch Chaim. V'chi Adam Harishon. Oops. Again. Let's try it again. V'chi Adam Harishon chata ba'achilas eitz hadas kodem zman hetero. Shehu bechinas arla. Indeed, Adam Arishon sinned by eating the Eitz Hadas before it lifkodem zman hetero, before it was permissible. When was the Eitz Hadas going to be permissible? Answer is Shabbos. She'im hayamamtin ad leil Shabbos. Had he only waited a few hours until Shabbos Kodesh, hayamikadesh al hayayin, he would have been able to take the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, which according to one opinion was a vine, was grapes, and he would have been able to use it and crush it into grape juice or wine or whatever, and made kiddush on it. Vizehu sod divrayim, and this is the hidden layer of the meaning of the rabbis when they said, Adam moshech be'arlaso haya. Adam was pulling on his foreskin, as it were. Zohi aralto, vehu ma she'amar hakasuv. Second, samuch lazharas varaltim al rasol lo sochlu, and this is why it says right next to the mitzvah of arla, of waiting for 3 years, we have the mitzvah of not eating meat until the blood is drained.
Why? I don't get the connection.
Kizo siba lechol shvichus damim. This is the cause for all murder. Dam adam v'dam zeros of. What does it mean? And Rabbi Fran says this nicely. It's the inability to have patience, the inability to have restraint. Right. This is the cause of everything. When people cannot have restraint. When people do not show discipline, when people do not have the ability to have patience, whether it's for themselves or one another or their circumstance, it leads to all type of tragic consequences.
Yeah.
V'yeshul chaladas kisibas ha'arelus v'okram zem mikoram shezulas chet adam. Were it not for the sin of Adam Arishon, lo haisa arla ba'olam lo shel tzomeach v'lo shel balechayim. Were it not for Adam Harishon's inability to, were it not for his sin, there would be no arla in the world. No arla of tzomeach, no arla of balechayim. Right, whatever that means, just I'm going to leave off that last phrase over there. But basically, what the Aruch Hayim is fleshing out here, based on the midrashim that we saw, is that the sin of Adam Arishon was the inability to show restraint, the inability to have discipline, the inability to wait, the inability to have patience. And this is what causes, you know, the terrible and really horrific horrific outcome. Okay.
Rabbi,
this is the.
Could you help me to understand something? How Eve's chuppah was dripping with diamonds and emeralds and rubies, and she was the most beautiful woman. Hashem braided her hair. It was the most glorious thing. How could he resist the most beautiful woman? I don't understand.
Okay. So you ask it as a rhetorical question. I can't answer a rhetorical question, but Hashem created people with the ability to overcome their circumstance or their spiritual circumstance. God gives us the ability to choose. So, folks, this is the kernel. This is the essential meaning of the mitzvah of Arla. Why do we have the mitzvah of Arla? Yes, the Ramban says so. You know, we shouldn't do like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says we shouldn't do like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Yes, like the Ramban says that we should make sure that the first fruits that we're offering, dedicating Kodesh LaHashem, should be the beautiful ones. That's all true. But there's another idea here. And the mitzvah of Arla is a tikkun. It's the idea of giving us and instilling within us this midah of savlanus, this midah of patience, the midah of living a life of discipline, of living a life of restraint. That is what mitzvahs are all about. That is the life of Avodas Hashem. So we can answer now, I think, all of our questions. But before we answer all of our questions, look at the next story in the Gemara here in Sanhedrin. Right after we talk about the sin of Adam Harishon and all of that, and his being a heretic, Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah that says the following: Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer teaches.
Where are you?
Right here.
Oh.
Have a shakod lilmod Torah, a person should study Torah with great persistence. V'dam ashatosh of lapikore, so you can answer the heretic. Okay. The more simple way of saying this is, lamod Torah, study Torah, and you can answer the heretic. What does it mean, have a shakod lilmod Torah? You should be persistent in the studying of Torah. The opposite of heresy is not belief. Heresy, to be a min, to be not be chorus, means you're a person who does not have this midah of patience, of discipline, of delayed gratification. Because somebody who doesn't have that cannot believe in Hashem. Because the foundation for emunah and Hashem is to be able to see like the long haul. And to be able to, you know, to go the long haul and to be persistent and to... You're not going to get the immediate gratification. Emunah is not about immediate gratification. The opposite of the apikores is not learning Torah. That's a philosophical heretic versus a philosophical believer. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about shkeda, which means being persistent at it, going at it. And that requires patience, and that requires discipline, and that requires the ability to not to act on impulse. Okay, so now we can answer all of our questions. So why is the term RL used for this mitzvah of not eating the fruit for a few years? And the answer is, from this perspective, because the whole idea of the mitzvah of Arla is to be a tikkun for the sin of Adam HaRishon. The sin of Adam HaRishon was that he could not hold back. He was Moshech Arlaso. He was covering up his foreskin. He was pulling on his foreskin, excuse me. In other words, he was covering his identity. The mitzvah of Arla, of waiting 3 years, is a way to instill within us the most central quality of being an Eved Hashem. And that's why it's called Arla. Because Arla reminds us of Adam Rishon's sin, which was to fail in this regard. So this is the mitzvah of Arla, which is fixing the sin of Arla. Right? The mitzvah of waiting here is called Arla because it is to repair in our psyches, in our mind, in our consciousness, the failure of Arla all those millennia ago at the beginning of creation. That was question number one. Question number two, why is this connected to the mitzvah of not eating the meat with the blood? Because this is all about restraint and delay and patience. You can't just, you know, find a piece of meat and eat it. There's a process. And the purpose of that process is to put a restraint on a person's impulses. You don't just act on impulse. So that's why these two are juxtaposed. The mitzvah of the trees, Arla, and the mitzvah of the dam, Arla. Now the rabbis derived from this pasuk, this question number three. The rabbis derived from this pasuk of Arla that you're not allowed to eat before davening. Makes perfect sense. They derive from the pasuk of lo sochlu al adam, you shall not eat meat with the blood in it, right? That you're not supposed to eat before davening. It makes perfect sense. Because when we get up in the morning, our first impulse is to feed our body, is to feed our material, our physical desires. Lo sochlu al hadam means don't do that. Don't just act on impulse. The first thing we should be doing is davening to Hashem for our spiritual source, our spiritual essence, and our foundation. And once we have that, okay, then we can go on to our day and we can feed our body and feed and do everything. It makes perfect sense that these mitzvahs are connected. In addition, we said, and then we go back to our initial question, which is our fourth question, but really our first of the four questions. What does this have to do with a child and 3 years old? Right? We said, a child, the Yalkut Shimoni. Remember, this is what we started with today. The Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni says that waiting for 3 years for the fruit and then dedicating it to Hashem and then eating it in the fifth year. What does the Yalkut Shimoni say? Midaber bitinok. We're talking about a child. Shaloshanim, 3 years, you know, the child is basically separated. And then the child starts to speak. And in the fourth year, we dedicate them to Torah. And in the fifth year, then the child, you know, eats. In other words, that is to say that the child can read and go on and live life. And from here, there's this connection between waiting for 3 years to, you know, to have the haircut. But what's the Medrash saying, you know, about 3 years and then 5 years? What basically... I think the Midrash is saying is that we wait 3 years before teaching a child Torah, before giving them a boy, a yarmulke, and a boy tzitzis with the Spider-Man, because the idea, and this is a universal idea, not just about children, is that the central feature of what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be an Eved Hashem, is to have this midah of waiting, of being able to overcome our inclinations, our impulses. And so we wait 3 years. And after 3 years, the child is ready to be dedicated to Hashem and to start learning Torah and doing mitzvos, etc., etc. And it makes perfect sense. because this is the failure of Adam HaRishon at the point of, and the moment of creation, and this is the the enduring midah quality which is necessary for every single person to be successful in life and to be a successful Eved Hashem. Without this quality, patience, perseverance, discipline, delayed gratification, all of that, there's nothing to talk about. We don't have emunah Hashem, you can't do mitzvahs, you're not going to do, it's just, you know, what's easier, to go visit a person in a hospital or to stay home and watch TV? Right? One of them requires, requires you to put yourself out there. But if we just act on our impulses, nothing gets done, both in our material lives and certainly in our spiritual lives. So this, I believe, is why it makes sense that the minhag of waiting for 3 years for the haircut, now you're a mensch. Now you become Adam HaRishon after he sinned, Or now you become Adam HaRishon now you fix the sin of Adam HaRishon. And this is the message which I think is perhaps more important, at least as important now as it's ever been in history, because we live in a time where everything is impulse buying, impulse purchases. You don't have to do, all you have to do is click and you could do anything you want in life. Click and you have, I needed to buy a basketball for my kids, click, and basketball came the next day. I needed to buy an air pump, click, came the next day. I needed to buy a mop, click, it came the next day. There's nothing that you can't do in life today. You need to master all of, you need to master an entire discipline, click. Well, you have everything that you need right in front of you. All the information, everything. There's nothing that cannot be done. I'm exaggerating a little bit. There's nothing that cannot be done today that cannot be done almost instantaneously. There was a study that was done, a marketing study that was done, that a website that you have to wait more than 2.5 seconds for it to respond to you, you're gone. People don't wait more than 2.5 seconds. If the website doesn't respond within 2.5 seconds, they move on. Right? That's the attention span that we have. So Adam HaRishon couldn't wait 3 hours. Today, 3 hours would be a big deal. We look at it, we say, he couldn't wait 3 hours, we have to wait 3 years. 3 hours? Today, that's like an eternity. So I think this message of the mitzvah of Arla is as resonant now as it was, thousands of years ago, and maybe even more so. So that's it for today. Wish everyone a good day. If you have any questions or comments, yeah.
Well, I have 2 comments.
Okay, go ahead.
When you were talking about the talking, so when my son was 2,